Hello and welcome to Two Peds in a Pod, the medical education podcast from the Children's Emergency Department in Derby. I'm your host Ian Loans and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Mr. Dan Perry. Good morning, Dan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. And just to introduce you, Dan is a consultant paediatric orthopaedic surgeon and National Institute for Health Research clinical scientist based at Oxford. Is that right?
Yeah, I've got a controversial life. I'm based at Alderhay in Liverpool, but my academic work's in Oxford, so a slightly double life. But hey, that's how life goes sometimes.
That's a heck of a commute.
They're just round the corner.
So we're going to talk FORCE today. So the FORCE study. So just to sort of introduce it, how did FORCE start, and how did you get involved?
Sure. So FORCE started initially out on the back of a NICE guideline. So the NICE guidelines concerning minor fractures, so non-complex fractures, recommended has got five research recommendations, and one of those key research recommendations from NICE was about the management of torus fractures, and it asked whether we need to treat them at all.
Yeah.
And so initially. I saw the research recommendation from NICE, and I thought, how about we get a project, get a study going around this. So we started building a team and started talking to patients, and it became very apparent talking to patients that trying to do a study comparing nothing with what we do now, so either a splint or cast, wasn't really going to float. As patients kept telling me, we're not really cool with nothing. Yeah. We don't want that. So fortunately, NIHR, so the National Institute of Health Research, then put out a call for this trial. So we'd been working on the background, so it was perfect. They released a call, and they asked for a trial of whatever we do now versus nothing, but that nothing could include giving people a bandage as perhaps some reassurance and some support to make it a bit more acceptable to patients and families.
Okay, so that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because it's, I think when people, we sort of say to people, you've got a fracture there, there's the expectation of you're going to do something. And actually, as you say, selling the concept of, do you know what, I'm going to do nothing, must have been, is quite difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really challenging. And if I'm honest, some clinicians have pushed back against me because they feel we should be doing nothing, much like ankle sprains. But it's quite... It's really hard to sell that trial to parents and children. So I think we've come up with a compromise that kind of works, but no, it's tough.
Yeah. So once you've got your sort of idea for a study, the next important bit is to come up with the acronym, isn't it? And that's the most important part of research is what's that. So what does FORCE stand for then?
So FORCE stands for the Forearm Recovery in Children Evaluation.
Excellent. So if we sort of think then through in a sort of a PICO style about the research, who are the population that your group is interested in?
Sure. So the population is children between 4 and 16 years old. It's split into two trials. There's a trial of 4 to 7-year-olds, and then there's a trial of above 8-year-olds. And the reason we've done that is this is a really, really common injury, so we can afford to be a bit playful in how we design the study, because we're expecting large numbers. And so we've split into two groups because obviously the younger group can self-report. Yep. And the younger group are parental reported. Yep. And the older groups can self-report. So we've split into two trials, so we're not muddying the waters between self-reported and parent reported. And also the bigger numbers give us a lot more power to do secondary analyses and things.
Okay. And is there sort of a time frame from when they've injured themselves to presenting that sort of includes them or excludes them?
Yeah, so it's within 36 hours of the initial injury.
Okay, just why did the group pick that out of interest?
Yeah, we wanted something that was, we wanted an injury that was relatively soon, yeah. So relatively fresh. The primary outcome, so I know I'm slightly jumping ahead in the PICO, but the primary outcome's at pain at 3 days. And given the primary outcome's an early outcome, we didn't want an injury which is kind of 4 or 5 days down the line when it presents, because in essence, we're already past the primary outcome point. So we wanted to have fairly fresh fractures and have an early primary outcome, because that's what parents and children told us what was important to them.
Okay. And thinking then about your sort of exclusion criteria. So an injury, you know, clearly children outside that age, an old injury exclude you. Is there anything else sort of exclude you?
So if you've got other fractures outside the wrist, if you've got bilateral fractures, that's an exclusion. But otherwise, it's a fairly all-encompassing trial. Pretty much everything's in, as long as it's a buccal fracture. So there's no true break in the cortex,
right,
of the radius. The ulna can be as smashed as you like, as long as the radius is just the buccal, where everyone's in.
Fine. And you know, this is a really common injury, isn't it? I think I was reading 500,000 presentations in the UK a year.
Yeah, well, that's what NICE came up with in their report. I must admit that sounded a little high even to me, but hey, I mean, it's certainly super common.
Okay.
And in the first couple of months of the study, you know, we're seeing huge volumes. We've got 240 patients pretty much in the first few months, so it's really astonishing.
Okay. So Dutch group, your intervention, as we said, is sort of standard care versus, you know, a soft bandage, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, well, so it's standard care versus offering a soft bandage. Mm. So there's some, so people don't have to take up the offer. People can take it home. People can do what they want with the soft bandage. But that's the, you know, that's the reassurance that the parents take home with them should their child become poorly at night, or okay, you know, have pain at night, rather.
Okay. Comparison group, we've talked about it, and you said primary outcome is reported pain at 3 days.
Yeah.
Any other outcomes that you guys are looking for?
Yeah, sure. So primary outcomes, as we said, pain at 3 days using Wong Baker, and we're also looking at pain throughout whole 6 weeks follow up period at multiple time points. As well as that, we're looking at an outcome called PROMIS. So PROMIS is an outcome developed by the NIH, which looks at upper limb function in children. So it's the only really good measure of upper limb function in children, and it's a relatively new measure. It's quite a cool measure, and I'm a bit of a geek about this because it's a computer adaptive test.
Okay.
And that means that there's a bank of 32 questions, I think. And on average, the computer asks only 8 questions. So they're all slightly different depending on your response to the previous question. But based on those 8 or so questions, it will give you a T-score about your overall function. So it's quite clever, and it's quite a good way of using the most of technology to deliver studies. So in addition to PROMIS, then we've also got EQ5D, which is the standard way that NICE assign utility scores, so assign cost effectiveness to studies, and we've got some measures of other measures of health economics.
Okay, so having looked at that PICO, then what sort of numbers did you sort of want to get or think you would get when you looked at this study?
Yes, yeah, so the magic number is 696 participants, so across the whole trial. So we split that into, like I said, we split that into 2 groups.
Yep.
We're powered to identify a difference in one face on the Wong Baker score.
Okay.
But we're powered for each of the two separate groups. So the younger children and the older children were powered separately. So that's the magic number, and it's a big number, but it seems very achievable within the timescale.
Okay, moving on to that, when did you open, and what is your sort of time frame for this?
So we opened a little late. So we've been open for, where are we now? So we're May now. So we've been open for about 3 months, we opened late. So we hit opening sites really hard initially, and that has made us catch up at a really astonishing rate to what our original predicted recruitment curve was. The plan is to recruit everyone by December, so that's going to be a little under a year of recruitment, plus the 6 weeks follow-up, so a pretty quick study. and we're well on target at the moment.
Okay. As you say, it's a fairly short period to get quite a lot of people, and of course that relies very much on sort of collaboration with other centres. How did you guys go about sort of getting that collaboration?
So if I'm completely honest, PERUCI, which is the, I always forget what it stands for, the Paediatric Emergency Medicine Research Collaborative of UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
So they've been fantastic. So early on, I approached PERUCI and said, look, we kids orthopaedic surgeons are keen to deliver this study or keen to help deliver this study. And Damien Rowland and Shruk Messiah, Shrooks at Order Hay, they came on board and just jumped in with it. And so we've been pretty much thick as thieves from the start of the study. And you know, at some hospitals, orthopaedic surgeons are delivering it. At most hospitals, it's the PERUCI group delivering it. And it's really been fantastic. And it's in many ways, it's brought at many places, certainly at Order Hay, it's brought PEDS ED and PEDS Ortho really close together. And it's been great.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, where I work, obviously, Derby has been involved with PERUCI and we're involved with FORCE. And I just spoke to Shruk the other day about a study that PERUCI had got involved in called Eclipse. And what she was sort of saying is actually it demonstrates that EDs can work together to deliver this research that maybe we hadn't before. So it's great to hear that collaboration's occurring.
No, it's fantastic, and we've got many more studies in the pipeline where forces come from.
Excellent. Now, for many people, actually, you know, it's an interesting topic to pick, and it's an interesting sort of intervention to go with. But I think for some people, the really interesting bit of FORCE is that it's the first properly sort of online, exclusively online trial. There's no paperwork involved as far as I can see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's really cool. And it's really cool because we're delivering the first online trial. And that's not just in PEDS ED, we're delivering the first online trial in NIHR. So we're wholly online. And so it really is great. And even the kind of people that run NIHR, like Jonathan Sheffield, have come and looked at FORCE and said, you know, this is really cool. You know, how can we roll this sort of thing across, you know, across NIHR? So it's really exciting.
Why did you decide to go with that sort of exclusively online approach?
I'm not a proper disruptor, but I'm a little bit disruptive. You know, I have never really followed a normal path into research. So my path into research has always been accidental.
Okay.
And I've never really stuck with the rules. So when a trials unit tells me, you know, I can't do something, that's normally an invitation for me to try my hardest to do it. So when I first came to doing clinical trials and clinical research, everyone wanted me to fill in pieces of paper and, you know, write patient information sheets in conventional ways. And to be honest, it was really outdated. So with my previous study, which I had funded for my clinician scientist study, I set up a national surveillance system in orthopedics, which was wholly online, and we've essentially used the bones of that to start a trial platform, and it's really cool.
And for people who sort of not used this or not been involved, I mean, we are talking, it is all done online, all the consent is online, all the information's online, and all the follow-up is sort of done electronically, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's everything's online. It's working really, really well. So you know, the people have some reservations about it. So research nurses have had some initial reservations about it because even the delegation log and all the kind of the back end stuff is all online. So people weren't quite sure how that's going to work. And in all honesty, it's worked. You know, it's worked beautifully. Text message follow up to patients is all automated. So all the text messages, like, it's a big study, so it's quite hard to manage, but text messages get fired out automatically at 4 o'clock each night to ask parents to fill it in. If they haven't completed it, it fires another reminder out the 7 o'clock in the evening at kind of bedtime, and then the following morning, and, you know, and then it does stop harassing them a little bit, but it's just amazing the way it works. And, you know, our from the second message, The the responses is about 80%. So that's 80%, you know, follow up within two text messages is pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's clearly the way. Well, I think it's clearly the way forward, because I think one of the barriers, certainly for, you know, people recruiting, people getting involved, and clearly for people participating, is the filling in of forms. Whereas people will respond to a text generally, as you say.
No, absolutely, and we've seen that. There were some initial anxieties about it. But yeah, I mean, and certainly the best follow-up is very much in the early days when people still care about the injury. So up to about a week, follow-up's good, you know, well over 90%. And then it drops off a little bit at the 3 weeks and the six-week mark, which is kind of interesting, because if they complete their six-week follow-up, then they're automatically sent a £10 gift voucher. So it's kind of, it's interesting to me that follow-up's worse at the six-week stage when we tell them, look, if you do this, you're going to get money to recompense you for any out of pocket expenses during the study. So I was kind of shocked by that.
Okay, I guess, and the other sort of, in terms of thinking of pushback from people getting involved in this, is, well, what if it goes down online? What if I can't log in? Those sorts of things. Have you had any particular problems with that at all?
So whenever we set up studies, there's always a few hiccups, and so this is the first online trial. So there's been a few minor hiccups along the way. I've got a great IT guy called Duncan who is amazing at how much he's online, so he can fix anything at most times a day. So he's been really good. There hasn't been a huge volume of problems, and even now we're innovating slightly to try and make things more stable and make things better. In terms of, you know, not being able to recruit. This is one of those studies that is so heavily dependent on computers, because, like I say, that promise outcome is very much a computer adaptive test. So this study would never work on paper, because I couldn't use that outcome. So it's thoroughly computer based.
And I think for that reason, do you get the sense that a lot of people actually in sort of the research community are going to be looking at this and saying, is this the way forward?
I hope so. We've certainly had a lot of interest from other groups. The CRN have been, so part of NIHR, have been very interested in what we're doing. Our next study called Science, which is about epicondyle fractures in children's elbows, that opens in the same, very much in the same way as this, that opens this week. And then we've just had another study funded, which is doing the same sort of stuff. So we're rolling out across our studies in kids, and then part of my group is also doing the same in adults.
Perfect. And my understanding is that Cochrane are looking out for the results of this study as well.
No, absolutely. So Cochrane, in their latest review about the management of risk fractures, cited force as something happening. And you know, there's so few trials in children's orthopaedic surgery when in children's injuries, when one happens, you know, it's pretty cool and pretty exciting. So Cochrane are looking at this, and like I say, we've got, you know, there's a whole host of studies which are just about to kick off and start. So the combination of Perucci and the combination of BISCOS, so the British Society of Children's Orthopaedic Surgery, getting together, it really is a fighting force, and I hope we can answer many of those questions that we're very uncertain about in children's injuries.
Absolutely. So closing towards the end of the year, when are you guys hoping to sort of start releasing some of the data?
So there's 6 weeks follow-up, and then about 3 months of looking through the data and starting to pull things together. So I'm hoping May time will be when we'll get the results out. So I guess the Perucci meeting next year.
Perfect. Excellent. So in about a year's time, we can look forward to that and hopefully sort of learn more about, say, how the electronic recruiting worked and what didn't work. But, you know, it's incredibly innovative and I think clearly the way forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Dan. And we'll let you get back to going tripping children up to recruit more for the study.
Look forward to it.
Right. Take care. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thanks.